Yantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam Jai Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam Che Che Sri Vrindavan Dham. Chedadha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapallabha Kidivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Chana Ranjana Jamuna Thira Panachari Che Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janapallabha Kidivaradhari Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala 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 Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda 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 Jaya Jaya Sri Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda 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 Jaya Jaya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Everybody please very loudly. With all our heart. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Bol Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, one more time, please, everyone together. With one voice, with one heart. Please raise your arms, close your eyes, and let us chant from our very soul, very loudly, please. Everyone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rupa, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, everybody. Jai Shri Radhe, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Thank you. I am so overwhelmed to be among all of you that I'm speechless. But I'll try to say something. There's a beautiful verse from the Mahabharata. And one line of that verse has been quoted countless times. By many of the greatest saints that ever walked the path of bhakti. Than this land of India. Bhakti is timeless. It's very much the essence of the great Vedas, which were compiled over 5,000 years ago. Saints like Ramanuja, he lived in South India, and I believe it's in April of this year we are celebrating his 1,000th birthday. And he has perhaps 100 million followers, even today. The literatures he wrote, the followers he empowered, and most of all, the personal example of his life. There are so many literatures. Some years back, we took about 4,000 or 5,000 devotees on a pilgrimage to perhaps six of the places where he established in South India. And speaking about his life, I think we spoke about 30 hours. And we hardly even touched a portion of what has been written about him. He was learned, but he was so humble, so gentle. Even in his time, he had countless disciples and followers, but he considered himself the humble servant of everyone. Even priests and people of other denominations were so envious of him that there were several attempts to murder him. And he knew about all of them, but he really didn't care. Because in his true humility, could everyone hear? They cannot hear. Maybe Krishna's protecting you. Can you hear now? I'll repeat some of those thoughts. So learned, such a scholar of scripture, of logic, of philosophy, yet so humble, so caring. And because he was so successful, he was establishing so many projects, so many temples. He had hundreds of sannyasis that were initiated by him, thousands of monks, millions of congregational people working in society who were completely devoted to him. He traveled, and wherever he would go, people would become attracted. So in this world where there's success, there's envy. There's hatred. But it says in Bhagavad Gita that a saintly person is a friend of everyone and everyone is a friend to him. This is in Bhagavad Gita. So if a true devotee is a friend of everyone and everyone is a friend of him, why do people hate them? Why do people try to kill Ramanuja? Because he's a friend to the soul. The real person is the Atma, the living force, the soul within a person. And even though the false ego, the ahankar, who's lost connection with the soul, may have bad feelings towards someone who really loves them, their soul actually loves them. Because they're giving them God's grace, what the soul is thirsting for, longing for. But in every situation, he forgave them. He had such a simple heart that he could never hold anything against anyone. Because a humble soul takes shelter of a higher power. Vajahuremana srinandanandana abhay charanada vindare. When we take shelter, there's no fear. Ramanuja would often refer to a particular personality. My guru, Srila Prabhupada, He spoke so many classes about this particular personality because he really illustrates the very essence of bhakti. His name was Prahlad. How many of you have heard of Prahlad? Please raise your hands. He was a child of 5 years old. It is a beautiful story, but I will focus on just one part of this story. As a little child, he naturally loved Krishna. And one who loves Krishna sees every living being as a child of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita tells, Sarva yonesha kondaya murtaya samavantaya tasam brahma maha jonir aham bija pratapita. That all living beings, wherever there's life, they are all born of Mother Nature. And Krishna says, and I am the seed-giving father. So the supreme being, the ultimate beloved of every heart, is the origin of everything that exists. Sarva karana karanam. And every living being is the child. So we are all truly brothers and sisters. So in this sense, a devotee is a friend to everyone. Little Prahlad, from his earliest childhood, he saw Krishna in everyone's heart. Therefore, he was a well-wisher. But his father was a tyrant, a terrorist. He performed yoga, and he really perfected the external aspects of yoga. But he did it all for the wrong reason. The external aspects of yoga can give us incredible strength, amazing duration of life, incredible psychic, psychological prowess, and siddhis. Cities where we could perform miracles, where we have supernatural powers. He could fly. Just by raising his eyebrow, he could make everyone on earth tremble in fear. You can't learn that in acting school. That was a city. A yogic power. And he conquered all directions. No one would stand up to him. If anyone did not do what he wanted, he didn't just insult them, he destroyed them instantly. And he had this little son who was a devotee. And his little son was sent to school, which was Hiranyakashipu, his father's own school, which was specifically to train the children to be just what he wanted them to be, agents of his will. And his little 5-year-old son bowed down to him while he was sitting on throne. And Hiranyakashipu was very affectionate to your son.
Because even really evil, nasty people are very soft to their son.
He puts Prahlad on his lap, and he rubbed his head, and he started tears of affection for his little son. Because this child is born of me. And just out of fatherly joking, he said, "Little Prahlad, what's the best thing you learned in school?" And little Prahlad, he said, "My dear father," and he actually flattered his father. He said, "Oh, best of the demons." And his father really liked that. Anyone who just thinks that they're this body and thinks that those things that are in connection to this body are mine are completely an illusion. We're not this body, we're in this body. And because you're so busy trying to enjoy so many things at the expense of others, exploiting so many people, you're in a deep, dark well of ignorance. And no one can save you. And you definitely can't save yourself. You should go to the forest of Vrindavan and take shelter of Krishna. That was such an insult. His father was outraged. He sent him back to school. And the same sort of things were happening. Every time he would meet Prahlad, Prahlad would always, with no duplicity at all, he wasn't just preaching to his father, he was just sharing his love and concern. "My father, you are in illusion. Nothing is yours, but you think everything is yours." So ultimately, Hiranyakashipu, his father, decided to kill him. He abused him. He insulted him in the most nasty ways. He threw him on the ground. He told his military, "Kill this boy by any means." They tried to stab him with swords and spears, but it didn't work. They threw him in a pit of venomous snakes. The snakes were all waiting, with their fangs. And Prahlad just landed with them, and they made like a nice bed for him. They put him in fire. They put him in the ocean. They threw him from cliffs. They fed him deadly poison enough for hundreds of men. And little Prahlad never tried to save himself. He was, "Krishna, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm yours." And nothing affected him. His father was going mad. What made him most angry, his father, is he could not get his son even to be angry with him. He was always respectful. Whenever he came to see his father, he would bow down. And he would lovingly give good instructions. So ultimately, when his father was about to try to chop off his little boy, 5-year-old Prahlad's head with a sword, he said, "Prahlad, where do you get your strength from? How is it that I cannot destroy you? Everyone fears me. How is it that no matter what I do, I can't make you afraid of me?" And Prahlad said, I get my strength from the same place you get your strength, from Bhagavan, from the Lord.
Hiranyakashipu said, huh? Where is your Bhagavan? Where is this Vishnu that you're talking about?
Prahlad said, he's everywhere.
This was an insult to Hiranyakashipu. He was gigantic. He said, if he's everywhere, is he in this pillar?
Prahlad said, he's everywhere.
In a most sarcastic way, he took his mighty fist and he smashed the pillar. He lifted his sword and charged at Prahlad. Well, let us see if he saves you now. And he came to kill him. And right when he was about to slice Prahlad's head off, the pillar began to tremble. And there was a roaring, screeching sound that nobody has ever heard. And Hiranyakashipu didn't know what to do. He saw the pillar shaking, shaking, and suddenly, the pillar cracked open. And there was this half-man, half-lion, who was the personification of ultimate anger.
Now, you could be angry, and I could be angry. But when God is angry, mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. We are all just a little particle of the Supreme Lord. Just like a sun ray gives off heat and light like the sun. Why can the sun ray give off heat and light? Because of its connection with the sun. But there's a difference between a sun ray's heat and light and the sun planet.
So in all of history, no one had ever seen anger like this, in the form of a gigantic lion. He was roaring. Hiranyakashipu was thinking, his false ego, his ahankar, that no one has ever defeated me before, and no one ever will. So he attacked Narasimhadev, one of the great avatars of Vishnu.
And Narasimhadev played with him like a cat plays with a mouse. And ultimately, he liberated him. He ended his life. But he was very angry at the way this person was treating his little five-year-old son. So Brahma, who's the prominent person of the universe, tried to come and pacify the Lord, but he was afraid to stand before him. And Lakshmi and the devas, they couldn't stand before this personality. Brahma turned to little Prahlad. He said, he's angry because of your father. Please pacify him. And he pushed him forward. And little Prahlad just went. And Srila Prabhupada explained what this was actually like. It's like taking a little five-year-old child and pushing him into the cage of a hungry, angry lion. The little Prahlad standing with folded palms, smiling. He had no fear. And just seeing his love, Narasimhadev became completely satisfied. He actually conquered the angriest manifestation of the Supreme. Bhagavan is Ajit. Ajita, that's a name It means the unconquerable. But as conquerable by the love and the humility of a devotee. Prahlad was always peaceful. He was paradukaduki. He felt for the pains of others. And other than that, he was always happy. Why? Because he took shelter of the Lord. Today I was standing with Raghunath on the banks of our little Jamuna River and watching the fish. Have you seen our fish? They look really happy. They're just, it's just, sometimes they're jumping out of the water, and it may just be my imagination, but when one little fish jumped out of the water, he really looked like he was smiling. And then he goes back in the water, and all the other fish are swimming and jumping and turning around and following each other and then going different directions. Now, if you or me were underwater like that, we would die. We can't stay underwater. But how can a fish be so happy underwater? There's a beautiful analogy that when an elephant, which is the most powerful personality on the land, I've personally seen in a forest a gigantic male elephant. I was just minding my own business, you know, meditating, and all of a sudden I heard, because when elephants walk, you know, they make a lot of noise, especially in the jungle. And this elephant wrapped his trunk around a tree. It was a relatively big tree, and pulled it right out with its roots. Just lifted the whole tree and threw it. No, there's no Olympic champion weightlifter that can do that. Elephants are really strong. When that elephant, if he goes into a strong current of a river, he's washed away. He can't survive. But then there's little fish. These little fish are like our fish. They're so small, they're smiling. And they're swimming upstream and swimming downstream and swimming crossstream and swimming in circles. And the elephant, with all his might, he's trying to survive in that river, but he can't. It's like the difference between Hiranyakashipu and that little Prahlad. Prahlad didn't have any muscles or anything, but nothing could defeat him. And he didn't want to defeat anything. He just wanted to serve. He was everyone's well-wisher. Because the elephant doesn't know how to take shelter of the river. He's fighting against the river. But the little fish knows how to take shelter of the river and has taken shelter of the river. Recognizes that my food, my oxygen, everything I have is coming from this river. So therefore the little fish could go anywhere without fear. When we take shelter, we become fearless. When we take shelter, we realize our immortality. Sripad Balabhacharya, Mohanji, Balabdas's Param Guru. He gave the mantra, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Very simple mantra, which simply means I take shelter of Krishna. Krishna is my shelter. Nam Namakari Pahuta Nija Sarva Shaktis. The Lord has many names. This humility of taking shelter is the basic principle of true spirituality in whatever religion, whatever path. Jesus speaks in Bible that the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God and this earth. When we understand that there's a higher power and we take shelter of that higher power, then there's a whole different vision of life in the world. Bhakti means this, taking shelter of that higher power. And when we do, the most beautiful transformation that happens within us is we see everyone with equal vision. This was little Prahlad's main subject to speak about. When he was in school, his teachers, they couldn't tolerate. We are teaching you diplomacy. We are teaching you politics. We are teaching you how to exploit everyone. This was their school, Hiranyakashipu school. How to get everything you can get out of your friends and well-wishers, and how to destroy anyone who's in the way. And little Prahlad said, I can't think like that. There's no friends or enemies. There's only friends. Because God is in everyone's heart. That's the only education I know, is God is in everyone's heart, how to be a well-wisher. That's the transformation that takes place when we connect to our soul. And after that whole story with little Prahlad, Hiranyaka, or Narasingadev, the Lord, he said, you've given your heart and soul and everything for me. God is saying this. I'm conquered by you. I want to give you anything, everything. Whatever you want, ask, any boon. What would you ask for? Don't say it out loud. Little Prahlad, he said, my Lord, if I ask for anything of you, then I'm not your devotee. I'm just doing business with you. I just want to serve you. I just want to be a well-wisher on your behalf. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnanakarmanya navritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktarutama. Pure bhakti, we don't want anything for ourselves. We don't want material attainments. We don't want liberation. We don't want supernatural powers. We just want to serve with love. That's the nature of a pure heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this verse. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rohaita kitvai. I do not want wealth. I do not want the pleasure of the opposite sex. I do not want fame or followers or prestige. I don't want to be known as a great scholar. I don't even want liberation from suffering. I only want to serve you and please you unconditionally. And what pleases the Lord? What pleases a mother or father? When we show kindness to their children. If brothers and sisters get along nicely and help each other, a good parent is most satisfied by that. So little Prahlad did not ask for anything. But Narasingadev insisted, I want to give you something. So five-year-old child stood before this enormous incarnation and said, if you must give me something, give me this. That my father, who murdered so many people, who was so offensive to you, who tried to kill me in every possible way. He was so bad, but he's my father. I don't mind what he did, but still, there's the law of karma. Please give my father liberation. Narasingadev was so moved by that. His father hated this boy, insulted this boy, tried to murder this boy. And he had no negativity. He didn't ask anything for himself. He only asked that his father be liberated. Such simplicity. Simple heart. Narasingadev said, I already knew that you were going to ask for this, so I've already given him liberation. He is achieved mukti. And not only that, because you've taken shelter of me so sincerely, 21 generations of your relatives from the past and the future, I give them all liberation. And anyone who takes shelter of me, I will do the same. Then Prahlad asked for one more benediction. He said, I don't want liberation, because that's just for me. As long as there's anyone in this world who's suffering because of forgetfulness of their own eternal soul and forgetfulness of your supreme love and grace, I just want to be in this world to try to help them. He had no ego, no false ego. He was the embodiment of compassion. Now, how is it a five-year-old boy could be like this? Our Guru Srila Prabhupada explained that advancement in bhakti is not about our age. It's not about how much scholarship we have, how many skills we have, how much influence we have, power we have, followers we have. It's only about one thing, how sincere we are. Stanu stita. It means in whatever situation we're in, we don't have to change our situation. We could be housewives. We could be teachers. We could be industrialists, scientists, athletes. We could be in business. We could be farmers. We could take care of cows. We could be entertainers or singers or dancers. We could be yogis or swamis. We don't have to change our situation. Simply we change our hearts. Simplicity. Sincerity means to serve without ulterior motives. I will end with one little story. Last year, I was invited to Dubai to speak at a 7-star hotel. I've never seen anything like it. I was giving a lecture in the Royal Ballroom. It's owned by the Sheikh or the King of Dubai. And it was built on a little, kind of like a little island in Dubai. And they wanted to give me a tour first. So I went and they took me to one room. And I was with somebody else, and this room was, there was gold on the walls, and it was really an incredible room. I won't go into details of what it was like, just the bed was, I never seen anything like it. So the person I was with asked, how much does it cost a night to stay here? Because he actually, it looked like he wanted to stay there. It cost $35,000 a night to stay there for that room. And there's like about 8 rooms like that. And then the other rooms are like $5,000-$6,000 a night. But then I was taken to the Royal Ballroom, which was unbelievably decorative. And I kind of felt like a fish in the sand, like, what am I doing here? And there was these tables, and everybody at the tables was either a billionaire or a millionaire. And the ambassador of India introduced me and said, Radhanath Swami is now going to speak to us. And I'm really interested about what he's going to talk about. Because as far as I could see, everyone here is a billionaire or a millionaire. And we're in the most luxurious ballroom practically in the world. And the topic that we've given him is simple living and high thinking. So I really want to know what he says. And that was the introduction. And even I really wanted to know what I was supposed to say. I said a little prayer. And I spoke. And I tried to explain that simple living, high thinking doesn't mean whether you're living in the suite that I just was in, or whether you're living in a little straw hut in a village. Just 1.5 days before I went to that place, I was at Govardhan Eco Village. And we have outreach programs to our villagers. So I was in the villages with these simple people, some with straw huts, some were starving practically because they can't make a living because it was a drought, and we were trying to show them how to make wells, starve as water. And you know, just the simplest people with no education, just sitting on the ground with them and talking. And now I'm here. I said, whether you're living in a little village or whether you're living like you, simple living, high thinking means in whatever situation you have a simple, well-wishing heart. That's bhakti. If we have wealthy millionaires, billionaires, scientists, politicians who have unselfish, compassionate, simple, well-wishing hearts, how much they could do for the world. If our parents, if our teachers, if our CEOs, if our farmers, if we have simple, well-wishing hearts, we really understand the principle of yoga. We're not attached to all the things that distract us and infatuate our egos. But we see all things as divine property to be used for divine purpose. We are caretakers of whatever little or much we've been given. And in that sense, everyone, whatever our material situation, we all have equal opportunity to attain the same perfection. Because that perfection is not anywhere except inside of ourselves. It's who we are. Awakening. And our hearts awaken when we value this type of simplicity. And that is why the Lord showed such an incredible eternal message through a little 5-year-old boy, because he was just so simple. And later on in his life, he became a great king, but he was still exactly so loving, compassionate, and simple. Thank you very much. Shall we have a few minutes of kirtan? Or is it time to end? Gauravani is telling me to answer questions. And since I'm conquered by his love.
I just want to encourage, you know, all of our friends here from all the different communities that come together. It's a special opportunity to be able to actually reveal your heart, ask a question, and actually try and get some deeper understanding in some aspect of spirituality in your own life. Rare when we get a chance to actually ask a personal question and get a personal answer. So please, if anyone has any questions, or it's a good, really incredible opportunity, in my opinion.
Thank you.
My name is Matan. I grew up in Israel, and I grew up to a Jewish family, a very strong Jewish family. I'm trying to see how it's possible to accept the love to Krishna, the love to Bhakti, but at the same time, not to 100% drop everything that I've been raised from. It kind of feels that turning back to where I came, it's not the right things to do by accepting something new. Is there any, I'm sure, I don't know if the word formula is right, but what is the right things to do to keep but to also get new?
Thank you. We quoted this verse, Stano Stitaha, that we don't require to change externally. We require to change our hearts. If we understand the essence of religion or spirituality, we can see that essence at the heart of all great spiritual paths. I remember sitting on the floor in Vrindavan, the holy place of Krishna, and I was listening to Srila Prabhupada, my guru, speaking. And he said something which was quite striking, because he was saying it in Vrindavan, where everyone is a devotee of Krishna, and everyone loves Krishna, and everyone greets each other with Jai Radhe, or Jai Shri Radhe, or Radhe Radhe. Mohanji is a Brijavasi from Vrindavan, and he's one of the most saintly people I've ever met. He's like Prahlad. He's just so simple, but he loves Krishna so much, and he was the best friend of Shyamdas, Mohanji. To love God, you don't have to be sophisticated. You don't have to be wealthy. You simply have to have a simple, humble heart in whatever situation we're in. And to serve with love to the Supreme Lord without ulterior motives. So, here I was in Vrindavan, and Srila Prabhupada was asked the same sort of question that you're asked. And he said, bhakti is not about being a Hindu or a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim or a Jain or a Parsi or a Sikh. It's about loving God. The Old Testament, the New Testament, the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength and your soul. To love your neighbor as yourself. Savaipung sangparo dharmo yato bhaktiradhokcha jaya hoitakiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the cream of all the Vedas, the essence of the Vedas is this literature. And great sages, highly realized yogis, they ask Sutta Goswami, what is the essence of all religion? What is the prime duty for all humanity? And he quoted this verse, Savaipung Sampuro Dharma, the supreme Dharma, That means the supreme religion, the supreme occupation, the supreme purpose is to love God and to serve God with love. That loving service must be ahoitiki apratihata, unmotivated by selfishness or egoism, and uninterrupted by external circumstances. We just keep trying our best as true well-wishers. If we find that essence in Judaism, then we're true, deeply realized Jewish people. If we find that in our devotion to Krishna, there's one God. Blessed is the Lord is one. The Vedas tell the same thing. But the Vedas explain how many different manifestations that one God has. But same God, it's not a different God. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. The Supreme Mother and Father for all living beings has many, many names. The name Krishna means all attractive. That's, who could deny that whatever God we approach, that one God is all attractive in whatever religion. So if we associate with people who love God and who inspire this unmotivated, uninterrupted love for God, service to others, love is expressed through compassion. That's universal. Moses could have just stayed up there in the mountains and been quite and lived happily ever after. Why did he come back down to Egypt, where all his people were slaves? He risked his life and endured so many difficulties because he was an instrument of God's compassion. That's the essence of all true spiritual paths. In my own life, I never felt that I converted from one religion to another. I just found this is the beauty of Krishna and the sweetness of Krishna and Radha and Vrindavan was so overwhelming. I just felt closer to my own Jewish faith in that. And I loved Jesus and Christianity. I felt closest in my life in this. So it's not a matter of changing. It's a matter of seeking the essence, saragrahi. And when we find the essence, we'll appreciate that essence at the heart of all great spiritual paths. We don't have to convert. In whatever spiritual tradition we're in, if we're really seeking the essence and trying to live with love and trying to appreciate each other's love, then we can be truly, deeply brothers and sisters. Even if we may dress different or have different particular spiritual practices. Does that answer your question? Yes, please, take your time. Is there one more question?
Is
feel free if you have one. We'll each ask. May I ask a question?
Yes?
You were speaking about how Prahlad didn't want to ask the Lord for anything. And I think that we may want to get to that place where we're just grateful for anything and everything, even the difficulties in our lives. And yet, sometimes when we're in a challenging or difficult time, we want to approach the Lord as our source of everything. Can you just speak to how we can move toward that place of Prahlad, even though we may feel that we want to ask the Lord, but we don't want that business relationship at the same time? Is that a clear question?
It is perfectly clear question. It is important that we're honest with ourselves. We are not necessarily on the level of Prahlad, where we've completely taken shelter, where we have no false ego, where we are truly humbling ourselves to the grace of the Lord, and every situation is a perfect opportunity to seek shelter of the Lord. We really cannot sustainably, artificially live on that level because we're not there yet. But that is what we aspire for. So we make that like the lighthouse if we're in the ocean of material existence and it's very dark all around. We're not there. There may still be a storm in the ocean and waves and rains and sharks all around us. We're not there on the land yet, but that light is showing us where we want. We want to keep going in that direction. So when we're in a dangerous situation, it's natural that we may, God help me. God save me. Prahlad never asked God save me. Even in the most difficult situations, he said, Krishna, Vishnu, I'm yours. Narayan, I am yours. He realized his eternal soul. Krishna, I know I'm always going to be with you, whether I'm in this body or another body. Do what you like. I'm happy. But that's liberated. We're not liberated. So we could be honest. But we try to balance our prayers with what we really want. If we really get mad at somebody, and we really feel hateful to somebody, or we really feel envious of someone, or we really feel lusty for someone, then, you know, Prahlad never had to deal with that stuff. Prahlad was just seeing the soul, the beautiful soul in everyone's heart, and he just wanted to love everyone, soul to soul. But we're not always like that. So we can pray, you know, please save me from this reckless mind, and please save me from these senses, and please save me from this danger, and save me from being so envious, and save me from being so angry, and save me from all this egoism I have. We can pray for those things. and we're in a dangerous situation, it's natural. Please help me to get out of this situation. It may not be the highest level, but the fact that we're turning to God for it, and it's not necessarily something that we're trying that's going to hurt somebody else, then that's honest and realistic. So we can pray from our heart according to the situation we're in. But at the same time, to balance it with what we're really seeking. Does that answer your question? Just like when you asked the question, I hesitated, and even though my eyes were open, I prayed, please, Govinda, help me answer this question. Prahlad never had to pray like that. Thank you very much. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Raghunath ji, would you like to say closing words for this session? Please, someone present him the microphone.
In the material world, there's always heroes that they present to us to look up to. Sports stars, movie stars, different popular magazines will have some star, but for those on a spiritual path, we look for people who have dealt with the inner obstacles and somehow have come through them and somehow have shine, letting go of that. So thank you for being a compass leading us north. We're very grateful because we need people to walk in their footsteps. We're very grateful. That's why we're here in India. Thank you for showing us the direction.
Thank you for showing us the direction. Thank you. Actually, you know the effect that that 7-star hotel had on me? Would you like to hear? Well, I was there for a few hours, you know, speaking, answering questions, and meeting all those peoples. And afterward, there was a person, a local person, one of the people who organized the program. He had a car, and he was going to take me back to where I stay. And I just, this is the effect that the 7-star hotel Royal Ballroom had on me, where there was unbelievable amount of gold on the walls and golden pillars. I think the carpet over this incredible marble floor, which was gigantic, the carpet alone probably cost as much as this whole eco-village. So I told the person driving me, take me to the most isolated desert of Dubai. It's not a very big country. So he took me to this desert where they're just like these sand dunes going And I just started walking and walking and walking and walking. I walked a couple miles just into this desert. And he was following behind. And it's really hard walking in the sand of a desert because it's really deep sand. And then I lay down. And by that time it was night and I was looking up at the stars. And I felt at home. There's nothing, no one except sand. So I tried to balance out my experience. Because yoga means to be balanced. Thank you very much. Thank you, Raghunath. Gopi, would you like to speak some closing words? Please bring microphone to Gopi Manjari Devi.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. When you talked about simplicity, I just felt, remembering those the women in the villages and the experience that we had with the interaction of the villagers around, really touched me, their simplicity, actually, and I shared that with you. So when you really talked about simplicity, I was remembering those villagers and how they're just seeing in their eyes that simplicity. I really feel when you meet those persons with the simple heart, it really embeds an impression, and I feel that this place is the embodiment of that, and I think for all of us, we are all feeling that. I mean, everything that you've said is what you've created here. So I think we're all very grateful, especially myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Gopi Manjari. We love to serve you and all those people you love. Thank you.